Well, in the autumn term, we're taking a rattle through the book of Galatians, a little letter that Paul writes to a few churches there. He's dealing with all kinds of nonsense in Galatia. There are those who would pull the church back to the Jewish way of things, keeping the law, rules about food, things like circumcision and all of that. And Paul writes this little rocket of a letter by himself in his own hand to put things right. It's full of wisdom for our age, and we're going to wrap things up today in Galatians as we celebrate the First Communion of 2024. Here's the reading. It's from 5:22, right to the end of the letter. It says this in God's Word. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they're something when they're not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. They can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use to write to you with my own hand? Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, the Israel of God. So from now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. Prince Andrew once invited an American group to Buckingham Palace. It included former President Bill Clinton and a few of his friends. It also included the actor Kevin Spacey. And while they were touring the palace, they were shown the throne room. Spacey rushed to the thrones, sat in one, and had a picture taken. That's the picture. And beside him, if you can see that on the Queen's throne, is Ghislaine Maxwell. Now, if you don't know who Ghislaine Maxwell is or what Kevin Spacey has been accused of in recent years, then I wish you a very happy Google search this afternoon. The ego on display here is astounding, isn't it? This is the Queen's throne and that of the late Duke of Edinburgh. The oldest seat of royalty, tradition, power, and human majesty in the world. and a Hollywood actor and a disgraced madam had the gall to seat themselves for a selfie. Now, as angry as we might be at such an insult, we all do this. Maybe not jump into thrones, but we're a generation that is fairly happy with itself, pretty self-obsessed. Here's another picture that might drive home my point in a different way. I love this picture. This is the Milky Way. This is where you live. Okay, there's a little arrow there pointing to Earth. You can barely see it. And it says, you're here, being told that you're to blame for the temperature. I'm not sure how you feel about climate change and all of that, but that's a fairly shocking piece of perspective, isn't it? We overinflate ourselves all the time. What sits before us this morning at the close of Galatians is sobering for people who have a sinful and selfish nature, but it also has the answer to the constant problems of self. I am the person I live with the most. I know what I'm like. I'm sure you do too. And I know I need an answer to this problem. So, like me, you have a sinful nature and it has to go. Despite what we might think, in spite of all that humanity has achieved, it cannot do great and good things by itself. Almost anything, everything can be corrupted. From the beginning of the world, we've taken very good things and made them potentially bad things. We've tracked here before in Ballygilbert, but it's worth remembering. Food, for example, is great, but we make it unhealthy or damaging or addictive, don't we? The same is true of medicine and drugs, sex, even the gospel. You know, I'm covering the vacancy in Second Ards at the moment. It's one of seven Presbyterian churches in Ards. I'm not counting all the churches, just the Presbyterian ones. Seven. Why? Because the gospel gets forgotten or taken for granted, and churches split, don't they, over any number of issues. Something as beautiful and as free as the gospel gets corrupted or forgotten because you have a sinful nature, so do I, and it has to go. I've said already, Paul's dealing with this group of Christians that are reverting back to the Jewish ways, food laws and circumcision and all of that. He calls them the circumcision group. Now, Paul's Jewish, and he's circumcised. So he's not objecting to those things just by themselves. He's objecting to the attitude it gives them towards others. They think they're better. They think they're spiritual. Because they have grace, which is the gospel, but they also have the law of Moses. They are gospel plus people. Have you ever come across this in churches or on the web? There's the gospel plus something else. You need the gospel, but you have to wear a beret. You need the gospel, but the women have to sit at the back. You can have the gospel, but you've got to be a really good person. Did you ever come across this? It's all kinds of ways this gets corrupted. This is Paul's problem he's dealing with. Gospel plus. Paul won't have it. It's grace. It's all grace. And anything that you and I would do responds to the grace. It doesn't earn it. It responds to what is given. We cannot add. We cannot work ourselves towards it. No one in here can be good enough. We cannot boast in our own efforts. And that's why Paul, having laid out the fruit of the Spirit, says this: do not become conceited, arrogant, provoking, and envying each other. Well, how do we do that? Well, this instruction follows one of the bigger ideas of Galatians. We've been here before about being crucified with Christ. Those who belong to Jesus have killed the sinful nature. You've got a sinful nature. It has to go. It doesn't just have to go. It's got to be murdered. Paul says crucified. That sounds a bit strong, doesn't it? And yet it is absolutely appropriate, friends. Paul keeps coming back to this idea of being crucified, dying with Christ, dying to self, keeps circling it. Why? Because Paul could just say, listen, guys, don't do that anymore. Or, hey, that thing, stop it. Doesn't say that. The cross does more than that. It breaks the link with the old self. There's a death. But then that death, that crucifixion, also connects us to Jesus. Do you see that? See the language? There's a disconnect from the old me and a reconnect because Jesus died on the cross. That's what crucifying the flesh is all about. And it's why we can never really change without Jesus. And we've heard this a couple of times already this morning. It's why Paul writes this line, very famous line. It's why he gets there. He says, I'm not boasting in anything except the cross. We're supposed to put the old self to death and take on a new attitude and a new way of living. With Jesus, everything should change. And we're supposed to help each other do that. Because none of us are alone. There are others like you. There are some who aren't like you too. Not an easy thing to do. I mean, other people are usually the problem, aren't they? I'm having a hard time by myself trying to change. I can't be dealing with other people. And what do I do when I catch someone in a sin? Do I really want to get into that with anybody? Not really. In the church, the opposite is true. We're to help each other. What does Paul say? If someone's caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit, you who are connected to Jesus, should restore that person gently. We do the opposite of this, don't we? We naturally do the opposite. We are quick to judge. We are quick to speak. We are quick to feel relieved that we're not as bad as that person. And that's why Paul warns us about pride. The real response is restoration, gentle restoration. Listen, that's hard work. Have you ever helped someone going through a problem or a rough patch? It's exhausting, isn't it? It's the story has to change. It never changes. You speak to this person, it's always the same topic. They do the same little route around their problem. It never alters. And that little loop draws you in. And if their sin is obvious to us, then it just gets awkward, doesn't it? It's hard to say to someone, here's the truth about you. Really difficult. And Paul gets it. Paul is not asking us to do something easy here because he talks about burdens. Carry each other's burdens. Now, you're not being asked to carry someone's sin for them. That's not good. But just their struggle. They have to walk the path of life just like we do. But sometimes you and I might be the ones that takes their bag for them for a little while. Give me that and I'll carry it for you for a while. Now, there's a fantastic Lord of the Rings illustration here, but I'm not going to put it on you. I know how you feel about it. If you know about Lord of the Rings, you'll know what I'm talking about. Okay, carrying each other's burdens. Great movie. But for the people in Galatia, obsessed with Jewish law, the rules and the regulations of faith and life, Paul just rolls in here with his bulldozer and trashes the whole thing. He kills pride. He says, you've got to keep not the law, but a higher law, the law of Christ. How? By carrying each other's burdens. Because you're not alone in your struggle with sin. There are people like you. We call it church. Listen, would I rather just convert, keep a strict diet, get circumcised, move my Sabbath from Sunday to Saturday and call it a day? Absolutely, I would. Easy. Not a problem. I can do that. But it would only end in pride, and I would be kidding myself that I'm okay. What's Paul say? If anyone thinks they're something when they're not, they deceive themselves. They're kidding themselves. Whereas Jesus would talk to us about humility and the carrying of each other's burdens. And so would Paul. And that's why he gets that famous section about boasting. Are we the Kevin Spacey types who see a throne and think, I could sit there? Or are we in awe of the King who dies for us so that we can die and serve others? What is it that marks us? Is it self? The whole world is selfish. Is that who we are? Are we easily wounded and offended because of our ego? Or do we carry the marks of Christ? Service. That's the same word as carrying burdens. Don't miss that. Paul's saying, carry each other's burdens. What does he say at the end of the letter? I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. That's what changes him. There's a lot there. I know that's a lot to deal with this morning. Why even bother with this question? Why would we take this route through life? Well, it's because death waits for everybody. By Wednesday this week, I've done my fourth funeral in about 3 weeks. It's been busy. A lot of death. And it is sobering, and it's always sobering when a life ends. And we often say to funerals that the living should think about this. They should take this to heart because death is the destiny of everybody. Why bother with all of this morning? Why even think about killing yourself and serving others? Why would we choose that? That sounds hard. It's a difficult thing to do. We're going to get tired. We're going to struggle. Why bother? Because death awaits us all. And if Paul is serious about sin and killing it, then he's serious here as well. He's still speaking the language of death. And if it's all true, then God is the one we have to answer to. If we've tasted grace, if we know forgiveness, if we know that Jesus is good, then you simply cannot turn your nose up at God. That's what verses 78 mean. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. That is life and death stuff. And where does Paul draw us back to? What's the answer to this? It's service. It's service. He says, don't get weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We're to put ourselves last, die to self, carry each other's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, which ends here in the reaping of eternal life. Isn't that what this table is doing this morning? What do you see here? Is it ritual? Is it religion? Will this top up your forgiveness for a few months? Is it the right thing to do? No. It's a life given in our place. It's hands and feet that were marked for us to carry our burden. And it's the promise of eternal life. It's exactly what Paul's talking about. Why don't I pray for us? Father, our egos can run silently within us all the time. We can be judgmental petty, ungracious. And yet we're here to sit at your Son's table, who set aside his glory, came to be one of us, as one of us, lived the life we should have lived, and died the death we should have died, and is the ultimate servant king. Father, Jesus did not come to eye up a throne, but to occupy a cross. Father, forgive us if we've got used to that idea, if we've tamed it of its power. Forgive us for our selfish sins. Point us again to the life that can be lived for others and live for you. We need your help in that. And so we pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen.